welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. Great black and white, chrome, negative, instant pack film, you name it, and Instax. Now in the country, check them out, www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at, of course, Richard Photo Lab, a great place to send all of your chrome, your color neg, everything. These guys do beautiful work. Check them out, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5, so you can turn your black and white negative film into chrome. That's it. Black and white chrome, incredible stuff. Check them out, www.dr5.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, the place to get a camera strap that will not let the camera slide off your shoulder. A necessity in photography, make sure you check them out. And of course, our media partners are the Analog Photography User Group, APUG.org, the place on the net to find out everything about the traditional photographic process. You name it, it's going on over there. Emulsion making, development, black and white, color, you name it, everything going on, wet plate, dry plate, alternate printing process, you name it, it's all happening, APUG.org. And on today's show, we got a very cool guest with us. We have with Yvette Roman. Yvette is a professional film-based photographer from Los Angeles, California. She shoots portraits, maternities, weddings, all film-based workflow. Very cool stuff. Yvette's got some beautiful photography. She does some testing for Kodak, shoots all kinds of film, and just some great stuff. She's a great photographer. And you know, a really cool person. Yvette, how you doing today?
Good.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Yvette, you're a film shooter from Los Angeles, California. You do beautiful weddings, portraits, children, all kinds of great stuff. So we just wanted to profile you today to talk about what Yvette's up to, how you got into photography, what kind of gear you're using, your workflow, and what's going on with you. So why don't we start out here, Yvette? What got you into photography?
My dad just kept giving me cameras when I was a kid. So I think that's pretty much the beginning. Then I went to Art Center College of Design for photography and started my business.
Now, did you start out doing weddings? Did you want to do fashion or still life? What actually want to make you go to art design school for photography?
I actually wanted to do bands and CD covers. So that's what I did for a long time after I started my business when I got out of school. So I've shot lots of rock and roll folks. And weddings kind of happened by accident and a little bit against my will. But then I really, really grew to appreciate and love it. It took me over and it took my business over. So the weddings kind of happened on their own.
Let's talk about the early stuff with the rock and roll. You started doing this before you went to school. Did you wait till after you were out?
Well, my stepfather who raised me was a record producer. And so I grew up in that business and knew a lot of these people. We had rock and roll people hanging out at our house all the time, and we'd go see bands all week and all weekend and be in the studio and all of that. So it was kind of a natural progression.
So really for you, it was no big deal. You were just hanging out with the people you always hung out with anyway.
Yeah, and that kind of worked against me a little bit, too, because I think a lot of photographers might need to have a little more starstruckness to be able to penetrate into that world in a more meaningful way. It was business as usual with me, and so I may not have been as starstruck as my competitors seem to be, which always impresses everybody. But yeah, it was my world growing up.
What kind of people did you get to photograph when you were doing the record music stuff?
Big and small, I photographed a ton of alternative bands. That was sort of my niche, most of which don't exist anymore. But I photographed some very famous people, Roy Orbison, Joni Mitchell. I photographed and worked on a big project with Timothy Leary and David Byrne. Who else can I think of? There's a lot of bands, but again, many, many of them don't exist. It was sort of during the grunge era of rock and roll.
Did you typically set shots up with these people? Did you just sort of cover it as a documentary-type photojournalist? How did you interact with your music people?
It was mostly through the record companies. I did a lot of work for A&M Records, which also doesn't exist anymore, and a lot of work for Epitaph Records, which does, which is a punk label. Mostly they'd give me assignments to shoot publicity shots or CD packages or what have you. Again, because I grew up in it, it just wasn't so alluring to me to just go hang out at clubs all the time like a lot of people and get to know all the managers and do all that thing. So I was already leaning toward the commercial end of it.
Let's talk about the wedding stuff. I know you shot your first wedding in 96. What brought you to do this? Did someone beg you, like, here, please shoot my wedding for me? I don't have any money. Or how did it get together to where you actually started to want to even look at wedding photography? Because, you know, a lot of people that aren't into wedding photography, look at it as almost a disposition. They're like, oh, you're a wedding photographer.
Coming from the world I came from, being trained as an advertising photographer, it was definitely a closeted thing. It was a dirty little secret for a little bit of time, a very short period of time. And what happened was my husband is a graphic designer, and his best client at the time was getting married, and she was absolutely convinced that I was going to be her photographer. And I said, no, 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 I don't do that. I can't do that. Ew, that would never be okay, and all that. And that was way back, about 12, 13 years ago. Wedding photography was really different then. You have to understand. It was not what it is today. She kept calling me and calling me and telling me she wasn't going to book anybody else, and I kept feeling the pressure. And then we had a meeting, and she showed me the very first Martha Stewart weddings issue. And I was blown away. I thought, oh my God, you are allowed to do that? It was ridiculous. And it just opened the world. It was so much more gratifying to hand her an album, which I made pretty much by hand then. I didn't have binders. I didn't even know how to do anything. I just kind of took it and made it my own. It was awesome, and I just loved it. It just grew on its own from there. So it really took me by surprise.
Let's talk about what the perception was and how wedding photography was back in 96 when you started compared to what it is today.
Well, everything was flash fill. Everything was formal. It was old school wedding photography. Everything was set up. There was no spontaneity, no photojournalism. There wasn't much of anything. A lot of medium format, but very still overly produced medium format looking things. Oh, put your hand just like this. No, 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 that finger has to go over there. It's so overdone. And that's what I saw wedding photography as. And tons of flash film, no natural light. Everything was very contrived back then. It was just so trite. It was just so done.
Yeah, I still think a lot of people use too much flash.
Oh, no, I use flash, believe me. You have to at parties, and things get too dark, and you can't just shoot grainy photos of everything. But a gorgeous day with incredible light, and here the guy is with the flash fill. The couple is overly lit, and then the sunset's in back of them, and oh, it was awful. So I took what I knew from all the rock and roll shooting that I did and brought it into the weddings.
Well, typically with the rock and roll stuff, you're in a club, you're available light, so it's like whatever's there is there, and you don't have enough power to overdo what's there. Natural light-wise inside of a club, and on top of it, they wouldn't want you firing off monster heavy-duty flash when a band's playing a club anyway, so it's like you got to get what's there.
Right, and I did shoot my share of that. I also shot a lot of studio photography for CD packages and whatnot, but having shot in that grunge era of music, a lot of natural light and a lot of crazy locations on the prairie in Kansas with the grunge band and things like that, Levees in Northern California. Everything was about putting them in a location that didn't go with what you'd think. So, yeah, you have to use what you have, definitely. It's definitely very much like wedding photography in that you have to be somewhat of a warrior. You have to just make it work.
What was the thing that really sparked off your big interest when you saw the first Martha Stewart magazine?
It was the moments that people were capturing and the way that they were capturing them, and it just... I don't know, it was very moving, it was very emotional to look at this style of photography. That was John Dolan and Meg Smith. They were all shooting film, and digital hadn't come into its own yet. It was just so spontaneous and beautiful, and it really captured a feeling, whereas the old school photography seemed like it was just a record, as opposed to an emotional recreation of the wedding.
So let's talk about that when it comes to the emotional ties to the wedding. A wedding is a really big event in somebody's life. Sometimes it can be the biggest one that they've been able to participate in. And I know there's different styles of wedding photography. Some people shoot it straight photojournalistic, fly on the wall, never talk to their client. Boom, they're there, they get a few things, and they're out. How do you interact with your clients? How much do you see the personal one-to-one intimate relationship with your client? And then how does that convey into what you're doing with your photography? How involved do you get with your client, I guess is what I'm getting at, when you're actually doing this stuff to be able to keep people comfortable with what you're doing and be able to get these intimate moments? Because I think a bride has a different view of wedding photography than a groom.
Yes, definitely. Well, one of the things that I do is I get to know my clients as well as they'll let me before the wedding, being that I'll go have coffee with them, I'll go have lunch with them, I'll have dinner with them. As much as they'll have me. Some people aren't as into this, others are. So I end up having multiple encounters with them. Also, I love doing engagement shoots because we can go out there and sort of practice together, so to speak. and everybody is so comfortable with each other by the time the wedding rolls around that I've sort of become as much the furniture of their life as their friends and their family. So it's not an odd presence to have me there. And it loosens everybody up, and people are really generous with me, with their privacy and their intimacy. But it's a relationship that's built. I have very few weddings where I get a phone call, they've seen my work, and I send them a contract, and then they meet them on their wedding day. I think I've only done two weddings, maybe three, in the last 12 years. That figures into it a lot.
Do you see that women have maybe a better touch at doing wedding photography than men with making this intimate connection and maybe knowing what a bride wants more than a male photographer?
Maybe. It just depends. Some women respond differently to men, like Joe Busink, infamous photographer, and women just love him. And he's so, I don't know, he can get people to do anything. He just has that touch. Other women have told me that they wouldn't have a man in there because they feel shy. Some women feel brought out by a man's presence. Others feel more guarded. So I don't know if it works in my favor or not. I've been told what I just said, but I also know from looking at Joe's work and knowing Joe how women respond to him, and I've seen him move through life and see how he deals with people, and everybody just has this radiance when they're around him. So I couldn't generalize that, I don't think.
Do you find, Yvette, that people search you out, that you shoot film? I mean, if you look at your website, it really doesn't say anywhere on here, I shoot film, in blinking letters. I don't think it says anywhere on your website that you're a film-based capture.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I feel that people like my work. That's how it gets there. But there is advantages. I mean, I'm very out about film. I talk to my clients about film. On my price list, it says that I shoot film. It doesn't necessarily say it on my website, but I'm a huge advocate for film and the glory of film and also the hybrid workflow and what you can do after the fact with the film that becomes digital, and then you're embracing all the technology and all the film at the same time. But that's definitely been a high point for me, and a lot of people seek me out. I'm a known film shooter, so people seek me out because of that sometimes, definitely. But it hasn't turned anybody away either, where they don't get the film thing, but they like my work, and however I achieve it is however I achieve it.
Well, I think people, especially in Southern California, where you're at, Los Angeles, you know, they shoot most everything still on film and motion picture television work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think hopefully you're getting a draw from that, and people understand that, or creatives understand that, yes, the film stuff does do a better job than electronic capture. It has a better contrast ratio. It has that film look because it is film that people try to emulate in digital that you really can't do very well.
Yeah, one of the most ironic things is I was looking online at people selling these action kits for the Photoshop workflows, and I think it's really hysterical. They have these border action kits that are film borders, which I think is really funny. You're going to go through all of this dissing of film, and then you're going to shoot digital photos and put a film border on for your print, which is really weird. But yeah, it's definitely created a niche for me that's been nothing but positive. It makes me stand out from 90% of the photographers working. And that's the good thing in and of itself.
Let's talk about your workflow, your gear. What do you shoot with gear-wise? Let's start with that.
35mm, all Canon. I love the 1N camera and the A2, which they don't make anymore because the low-light autofocus is really, really, really superior to any of the higher, like 1N, 1V cameras. So it's great for shooting parties.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, because I don't use the Canon flashes. I use a Q flash. And the Canon's little flashes don't have a lot of power, but they have a focus support where it helps the camera see in low light, but the Q flash doesn't. So the A2 is a great camera for that. And then I have my Hasselblad, and I have some vintage cameras. I have some Diana cameras, Holgas. I love that Hasselblad panorama camera. It's amazing. Now, my big wish list is to have a Contax.
Yeah, the Contax is a really nice piece of gear.
Oh, God, I know. It's amazing. So that's my want.
What's your favorite piece of glass? What's your favorite lens?
It just depends. Right now I'm pretty into my 24-70. I shoot practically all my weddings with zoom lenses. I just got that 90mm tilt shift lens, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I do shoot advertising, architecture and interiors as well, actually. And I just got this 14mm Canon lens that's rectilinear, and it's absolutely stunning.
That is a great lens. It's very expensive, but it's cool.
You just want to faint, but it's such a beautiful lens. If you shoot that kind of thing, it's pretty much a necessity to have a lens like that. And it's just the most finely engineered piece of equipment. It's just flawless. It's beautiful.
Do you find you use that at weddings too, or that's pretty much for maybe detail shots and exteriors and so forth?
I've brought it to a couple of weddings where I've known that I really have a tighter space to shoot, or like a room shot, but I'm a little possessive of that lens. I mostly use it when I shoot architecture and interiors. I'm just terrified it's going to get dropped or something. But yeah, I have brought it to a few weddings and put it on a tripod and shot some low light, very broad rooms, and it's just amazing.
So when you're out doing the wedding shooting, how much do you set up? Are you doing any kind of formal portrait, or do you pretty much just let it go and maybe grab someone real quick, like, oh, here, just come here for a second, let me grab this? Or how do you do your workflow when it actually comes to the actual wedding day?
Well, we plan a lot, and I go and see the site. We always do family pictures, and I make the bride and the groom make a list of groupings that they want so it can go quickly. Because those photos, albeit they're really set up, and some may say that they're a bit boring, those are always the ones that people have on their walls, and it's like the representation of the family. It's the classic. So we do that, but we don't do them in the shape of the pyramid by height order like they used to do or anything like that. We try to keep them very warm, and people have their arms around each other, and they're laughing. But it's those groupings of certain people together. So we have that, and then I like to take my clients for 30 minutes, either before the wedding or after the wedding. We go off and we shoot portraits where they're aware of my presence and I'm directing them, and we also shoot portraits where they're just goofing around and on their own and I'm just following. So it's sort of a hybrid, kind of a faux photojournalism thing. I like to have a connection with the people. When strangers look at people's albums, I want them to feel invited. And if the photography is too distant, it doesn't feel as warm to me. So it's both. I do both all day long.
Let's talk about a very important part of your capture is film. You're shooting film, probably 90% film, I would guess, maybe a little more. What does Yvette like to shoot stock-wise? Do you go in there with 20 different kinds of film, or are you using two different ones? What are you doing for the film?
I have a lot of film with me. I shoot. I love Tri-X. It's just the classic. It's so beautiful. And I'm a big fan of T-Max 3200. I love the portrait films. They're really beautiful. I do take the time to find out a lot about the weddings that I'm going to shoot. And I really like the Fuji 400H. Love it. It's beautiful. I shoot it quite a bit. It just depends. I'll be in a Fuji 400H mood, or I'll be in a portrait mood, and I'll pick from them. And the Portrait 800 is quite wonderful. Ilford makes a nice 1600 black and white film that has really fine grain. I really like the N400, the black and white film that you develop in the C41 processing.
Isn't that stuff creamy?
It's gorgeous. I was very snobby about that film for years because it wasn't real black and white film and you couldn't take it into the darkroom and process it and make fiber prints with it. I did a series of ads for Kodak. I also test film. And that was the film I was assigned, and I was really bummed. I was dismayed. I wanted Tri-X. I was bummed. I complained. And they said, nope, sorry, you have to shoot this. And I fell in love with it. It's fabulous. So I do shoot that too.
How much do you typically shoot at a wedding? You doing 20, 30, 50, 80 rolls? What are you typically burning through when you're doing a gig?
It depends on the size of the wedding, honestly. But from average weddings that I shoot, maybe are 150 people. And we'll shoot about maybe 50 rolls of film between me and my second shooter. I bring a ton with me. And I just shoot what's necessary and have a heart attack the next day. I don't count.
No, I think you can just build in the price of acquisition cost into your price, and whatever it is, it is.
Well, and the other thing about the cost is the new Nikon fabulous camera costs, what, $8,000? That's a lot of rolls of film. I've had my 1Ns and my A2s. I've had some of those cameras for going on 15 years. My Hasselblad is over 20 years old, and it is going strong. It's smoking. That's another thing. I don't have to buy camera every year, and that is cost of business as much as film is. So a lot of digital photographers are putting a lot of money into their gear and not realizing that that is part of their shooting cost.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially with the price of gear now, I mean, you can get on eBay and other places used 1 VHSs for, I don't know, a third of the price of what they cost new, and basically they're brand new because people sell them on eBay because they're like, oh, I went digital. I shot six rolls here. You can get an F6 for nothing. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. You can get amazing Hasselblad equipment, and these cameras last forever. I understand that digital cameras only have so much in them to shoot, that they end, their life ends.
Yeah, well, the sensors and things do go. The biggest problem with digital is the technology gets outdated and the new stuff gets better and no one wants the old stuff. So like you said, it's this repetitive action of every 18 months. Let's go spend another 10 grand. Two more bodies.
And honestly, that's a lot of weddings worth of film. So I think it evens out. And it's also your time in the back end, too. What is your time worth? And I hope would impress upon anybody shooting digital that a lot of people undercut themselves because they're, quote-unquote, not spending any money on the wedding. But then they'll spend 60 hours on the computer after the wedding. You need to be paid for that. I fear for people who are charging $2,500 to shoot a wedding.
And then they spend a week processing this stuff. Like you said, you need to be shooting on Saturday and Sunday, and you need to be marketing during the week. And maybe spend one day dealing with the images.
Yes, exactly.
And not five, and someone else doing it too.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, you know, I do spend a lot of time editing. I'm a very careful, methodical editor. And all of the scans go through Lightroom, and then they go through Photoshop for final little retouching and bit of spotting here and there. But I'm not color correcting. I have my look that I do that is achieved by my lab, who does amazing scans for me, but also a little Photoshop here and there. And I'm not saying I have no back-end workflow, but it's so much more minimal than digital photographers.
Let's talk about workflow. So you shot all this beautiful film, lots of great Kodak Portra, some Fuji, little this, little that, whatever, depending on the mood and the environment. Where does Yvette send your film to be developed? You doing this stuff yourself? What's your workflow after you've done acquisition?
The film gets taken to Richard Photo Lab, and they do my processing and scanning. The scans and the processed sleeved film come back, and then I upload it all into Lightroom and edit from the scans. And the scans are the roll and frame number of the film, and so they get a number put in front of them in Lightroom. I organize the photos from the beginning to the end, so the photos in their numbering tell a story. And then the photos get like 001, 002, 003, blah, blah, blah. But the roll and frame number is on there so people can identify which roll of film it came from and which frame it is as well. And then minor corrections in Lightroom, and then it goes once through Photoshop for all the like minute little things. Then digital upload onto online storefront, and then we make albums. Most of the printing is done through the scans, but I do my share of fiber printing and fiber print orders from the film.
You know what's amazing is you're using Richard. I mean, I talk to photographers that specialize in event at some point, some kind of bigger workflow than just a roll or two. Maybe they're shooting some still life. But everybody that I've been talking to recently here that's doing wedding, portrait, even event work for commercial clients or whatever, they're all using Richard all over the country. It doesn't matter where you're at.
I'm so lucky that I live in Los Angeles because I have access to some of the best labs definitely in the country, possibly in the world. I mean, there's the Icon. I do a lot of commercial stuff, and I was using them a lot. They're a fortune. In fact, I have a Kodak sponsorship, and we've partnered with Icon to do film tests. But Richard has taken weddings. They really have. I don't think that there's any real custom lab in the country besides Richard who has taken the time to get what the needs of wedding photographers are for their finished product and their workflow and whatnot, and can customize it so much. They really care about your preferences there. They've made it their business to sort of take on that niche, and there was nobody doing it. The big giant labs like Miller and whatnot, they were getting all the business, but they're big giant corporations, and Richard Photo Lab is a whole different animal.
Talking about workflow and customization with Richard, what have you found that you get that's custom that you wouldn't see somewhere else? Let's say they're doing your scans. Do you talk to them about, well, don't color correct them, I'll do it myself in Photoshop? Because, of course, as you well know, different lighting conditions with film, you don't have an auto white balance. You can't just go automatic digital fix it in camera raw. Sometimes the labs will do this color correction, or do you like doing this stuff yourself? What do you like to specify that you find that Richard or any other lab you work with that you have done custom that's not what would be the run of the mill?
I do this with all my vendors. I sit down and I talk to them and I meet them. And I know people work far away. My friend Brian Johnson uses Richard Photo Lab. He lives in Birmingham. So a lot of this has to do with a lot of phone conversations. And they look at your prints. I mean, Bill Pine, who runs the operations at Richard Photo Lab, and I sat down and I showed him how I want my work spit out to look. And I talked to him about the latitude of where I want my Tri-X to be scanned for this kind of print outcome, but the look of my color work, and he figured out the scanning preferences for me. I know a lot of photographers who use them, and I'll say, well, my work is more like X and less like Y, so if we can go toward that X, that's great. And we've honed it. We've really honed it. But the relationships are so important. Nobody should ever expect you to just drop off a CD or a roll of film at a lab and turn around and walk away. and then you get these magical results. It takes work on both ends, on the labs and on the photographers. The onus is on us to make sure that our work is being handled correctly.
No, I think you're right. Like you said, you have to work with this, but I think once you get your workflow down, they sort of remember your settings and what you want done.
Mm-hmm. If you run into a lab that's reluctant to give you that service, turn around and walk away. That's my thing, is if people are willing to work with me, I'm staying there forever. If people aren't, I move on. And that's my thing, because I need to have relationships with these people, because the vendors are the blood of your business. And so if you don't have a vendor that's willing to make a personal relationship with you and wants your work to spit out like everybody else's work spits out of everybody's machine because they don't want to spend 10 seconds and adjust something every time they see one of your rolls of film coming or one of your CDs coming into the line, then not my lab.
Let's talk about the prints, your albums. Are you building albums yourself? Do you typically do traditional matted albums like you would see with regular C prints in them? What do you do album-wise? Do you offer everything? What's your output flow once you get your scans back in the lab? Another thing, too, is proofs. Do you supply proofs?
Yes, I do. I give proof prints to all my clients, and I have Cypress Albums make me a custom box to put the proof prints in. Again, they're numbered 0 to 699 or whatever it turns out to be, so it's very easy to refile them. My albums I design mostly using a program called Photo Junction, and then the pages are output in Photo Junction, and then I just FTP them to Richard, and they print them. And we usually talk about each job. Not the proofing necessarily, but the album jobs, we usually have a little discussion about each one.
Do you get your scans back, adjust things, and then say, here's my batch of proofs I want? Or do you get everything right out of the scanner once Richard does their workflow, and you get it all back that way?
You mean, do I get my proofs back with the scans?
Yes.
No, okay. I edit everything first. First of all, I'm trying to be as wasteless as possible in my business, so I don't want to be throwing away all this paper. And it's a lot more economical. I mean, since I give them digital files to scan from, you still have well-priced proof prints, as if they did an entire roll of film and just spit them out. But I do edit, and then I number them from the edited version of the wedding, and then send them back FTP, and they proof from that. It just seems like a more responsible and easier workflow than having 2,000 proof prints to go through.
Right, you're green.
I mean, photography certainly is not the greenest thing in the world, but I do my best. We've been printing a lot of stuff on bamboo paper from Hanamuel on the inkjet printer, and people really are responding well to that. I'm trying. I mean, film is not green, I'll tell you that. And so I'm trying to compensate in other areas.
But, I mean, it's not too bad, though, with the chemicals they have now and the way they process and reclaim things, especially in the state of California where Richard is pretty hardcore with their environmental stuff. I think it's okay. It's not like they're just pouring stuff in the bay.
But it's still creating chemicals that have to be disposed of, and of course they're disposed of properly. Of course, they absolutely must. And Richard is actually in an incorporated city in West Hollywood, and they're even more hardcore than City of L.A. Of course it's all dealt with properly, but it's still something I'm aware of. So, again, I'm trying to do my best to make a balance.
I mean, that's really cool to see that you actually get the scan stuff back with the negs, and then you actually go through, make your picks, do some edits and say, okay, well, here is 400 prints, 400 photos from the gig, and not give them 2,000.
Oh, no, I usually give them about maybe 600 photos from about 2,000 shots. It always edits to a different number, but that's about the average. If it's a larger wedding, maybe they get more.
Right.
Tiny weddings would get less, obviously. There's just less things to shoot. That's overwhelming for people. And now, I've heard recently of a film photographer who actually gives proof sheets, which I would never do. People don't know what to do with them. I'm all for proof prints, and I think that people should have a tangible, physical record of their wedding, no matter what. I would never make a deal for a wedding on a package where I'd reduce the package and not give them proof prints, because I don't think online proofing is enough, because your wedding disappears. They need to have that as their heirloom.
Yeah, like you said, besides the album and so forth, it's nice to have prints.
Yeah, because you're not going to have 600 photographs in an album. So it is a record of all the guests and the fun and the this and the that. And then your album becomes like sort of art piece of the best of.
Now, when you produce the album and you have Cypress do it, these are all matted traditional albums, correct?
No, they have flesh albums too. Cypress
okay.
makes the Iris book, which is a flesh album.
Right.
And it's the same as pretty much any other company's flesh albums in the print department. But, of course, Cypress has its own handmade covers and all that. I love that company. They do everything by hand. for their matted albums, there is a human being that cuts the mats with a mat knife by hand. It's extraordinary. And they're all made in Los Angeles, so it's an American product, and they're pretty fabulous. But the Flesh albums, the interiors are much like Leather Craftsman or Queensberry or whatnot.
Right.
But of course, the covers are different because they do the silk.
Yvette, how much in your albums do you typically include fiber print? You had mentioned that you do some black and white fiber printing. That included in your albums, or is this more of a side product that somebody will want a picture for the wall, something of that sort, or you actually include some true silver gelatin black and white fiber prints in your albums?
Well, I like a very consistent look with my albums, so I don't like mixing papers very much. So if I do a fiber printed photo in an album, I would probably do the whole album fiber printed, because I think it looks a bit jerky to the eye when it's like one black and white's this way and one black and white's that way. However, I have done albums that are completely fiber printed, and they're very expensive, but they're gorgeous. And I have two samples, actually, in my cache that have fiber prints in them, and people always love them. But most of the time, 99% of the time, I do prints from Richard Photo Lab, from the scans for the album. And then the clients will order fiber prints one by one for framing, if they order fiber prints.
Do you find very many of your clients want a true black and white wedding?
Not very many. I think I've only had a couple. Even though they requested be all black and white, I did shoot color of the details, and I shot black and white as well because I just thought that they'd want that to have, and certainly they did. So I've had very, very few requests for that. I feel like sometimes the black and white is so emotional. I don't have any rules about this, but I really like seeing the more emotional things, like the first dance in black and white and a lot of the ceremony. I tend to shoot black and white. The color makes you see what the wedding looked like. The black and white seems to make the wedding come back to how it felt, more or less. Like I said, it's not necessarily a rule, but when I'm shooting with my instinct, that seems to be my instinct.
Well, I think so, because, I mean, look at an example of turn on the television, something on cable, and look at an old black and white Western or some movie that's on. The black and white and the lighting conveys the drama, and you're not distracted by colors and other things. You're just really in the moment of what's going on and the drama of said scene. I think that's the same way with capturing this extremely emotional and important moments with the wedding stuff, is you're not distracted by the pretties and the colors and the pastels. It's like you're in it. That's it. It's the moment.
Exactly. And since most of us see in color, it's like you're looking at something that you would normally see. But if you take it one step away from that, if you take it to a black and white place, automatically, people may just give it another second of a look to see what's going on. It's an unnatural thing to see in black and white for most people. So it just brings it a step away, so it can bring it into more of an art form and some kind of a different type of a reflection, a little bit hyper-real, a little away from reality. Then again, it brings you to reality, too, for that reason.
That's great to see that you're still shooting black and white and you know when to flip.
Yeah, I mean, I do change a few color things to black and white in Photoshop sometimes, but for the most part, it all comes out the way I want it. I don't know. You just have to connect emotionally to each job to do that. When I'm looking through the camera, I'm seeing a print in my mind, and I'm seeing it in black and white or color, and it's just the way I work best. But the whole thing with film is so great because it has somewhat of a mystery to it. I mean, I know film very well, but at the same time, every time a roll of film gets developed and I see it, it's always something surprising, that something will happen. Film, it just wants to give you something, but it also wants to make it its own as well, it seems.
One thing I want to touch up on here before we leave, Yvette, is you were just featured in Southern Weddings magazine. They did a special article on about film, how film is alive. Tell me about that.
Well, it's called Film is Alive, and they interviewed, I think it's 7 photographers. I was one of them, and we had to answer a series of questions about film. It was a pretty great article and a really interesting experience. And hearing these different photographers' takes on why they shoot film and what film gives to them and what film gives to their clients, and also how they describe film to their clients when they have a bride and they're explaining why they shoot film, what's the most important thing you tell a bride about the fact that you shoot film, was one of the questions, and it was just interesting to hear 7 different answers to that question. Some of them were very alike.
So what would be your answer to that one? What do you tell a bride?
I mean, film definitely has a look. It looks like film. I don't want to take something that can be made to look sort of like film and have it try to look like film. I want it to look like film. So there's that. The other thing is the archival thing. I'm a stickler about it. I think that beyond the album, the record of having negatives that will last for 200 years is very important. The society has become so instant. We buy crappy products that don't last very long, and then we throw them away and get new ones. And that's sort of the nature of our society right now. Nothing is built to last, but film is built to last. And I think that for a wedding, you're making a document of a family history. And I think that that needs to be a historical document and treated as such. And how many of us have stuck a DVD in there that seems perfectly good into our computer and it just decides not to work anymore? I mean, your wedding would be on a SideQuest disc, right? I mean, how would you even open it up?
You're done. Yeah.
You're done. And so people will justify it and say, well, you know, when DVDs are over, of course you can transfer all the images into the new format. But who's going to do that over six generations of people? Who's going to keep thinking, oh, I better get that wedding for my grandparents on that other format before this format changes? There will always be a way to copy and scan something, i.e. film or whatever analog product you have. But these digital files, and I'm not dissing digital. I shoot advertising digitally. I love my 5D, but I don't see it as an everlasting product that is archival in the way that I understand archival to be and that I need it to be. My clients can have a DVD of all the scans of their wedding, and they can have a DVD slideshow and all of the bells and whistles. But what they put away in the perfectly safe box that they get from Light Impressions, that's what they have forever.
Do you actually turn your negatives over to your clients?
I do. I think that they should have them. I keep the copyright to all my work, but they can possess the negatives. Because if I go out of business, or if I move to Australia or Italy, or I pass away, I don't want the archive of their wedding to be somewhere where they can't find it. So they do get that. They can purchase the digital files, but I give them their negatives.
Wow, that's great. Because that is part of the deal. I mean, like you said, it's their deal. So here, it's your responsibility. Yeah. Here's your wedding. Here's whatever, your maternity portrait. Here's whatever. But this is yours, so you better keep track of this stuff.
Exactly. And it takes the onus of responsibility off of me as well. I state clearly that if they leave their negatives with me and never get them or want them or request them, that I'm not responsible for long-term storage. And I do have a form that they have to sign to fill out to get the negative saying that they got them, which I file, so that everybody knows where they are if they're in someone else's hands. But having said that, they should belong to their family. So again, it's their family history. And in my opinion, I wouldn't diss anybody for doing their business in any kind of a way that's appropriate, but that's just the way I see it.
Sure. So, Yvette, of course, they can look at your stuff here in this article in Southern Weddings that's out right now. Give us your website. They can go look at your beautiful photography. You got some great stuff up there, your portraits, your wedding work. Where do they go check out what Yvette's up to on the web?
My website is yrphoto.com. Building a new website right now, which should be up in about maybe 6 or 8 weeks. And it's going to be the same URL, though. And it'll have a blog, too. So that's where I can be found.
You're going to be anywhere where someone can actually see you, talk to you. You're going to be in a trade show. I know you do a lot of work with our friends over at Kodak. Where can they find out what you're up to?
Well, I'm going to be at WPPI, and I'm sponsored by Cypress Albums to Go, so I'll be at the booth quite a lot during WPPI trade show days. I'm also going to be at Richard Photo Lab, it turns out, as of yesterday. I don't know my hours in each place yet, and I haunt that Kodak booth. It's not a formal thing.
I know you'll have images up in their booth, yeah, so they can definitely check out some of your work.
I had last year. Yeah, I don't know what they have planned for this year. Last year I had some work up. They just asked me for something, but it was a mystery as to what they were going to use it for, so I couldn't tell you.
Better to be asked than not asked.
Exactly. They can be mysterious over there. Oh, we need this. Why? Oh, just we need it.
Right. They need new pictures for the cafeteria, but you know it doesn't matter if they want it.
Exactly. If they want it, they can have it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yvette, I really appreciate you spending time with us today. This is beautiful work you're doing. So cool to see your shooting film and your workflow and how that you can still do analog capture in this digital environment and this hybrid workflow. And it just goes to show that you can be a professional photographer. You can shoot film. You can create beautiful work. And you're not held back or there's no limitations. It's just really cool.
Absolutely. It's all of this technology has done nothing but support what I'm trying to create. So it's all good.
Yvette, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We definitely look forward to seeing you here at WPPI and speaking to you again very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, there you go, Yvette Vorman. Very cool stuff with Yvette. You really need to check out her photography. Beautiful work, all film-based. Check it out over her website.
You've been listening to Inside Analog Photo.
And of course, we'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Analog Photography radio program, Fujifilm at FujifilmUSA.com/professional, our friends over at Richard Photo Lab at RichardPhotoLab.com, DR5 for black and white chrome over at DR5.com, our friends over at Upstrep at Upstrep-Pro.com, and of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group over at www.apug.org. So I've been your host, Scott Shepard. You can find out more information about the radio program and everything going on over at www.InsideAnalogPhoto.com. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.